ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 5 चैप्टर 11। जड़भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग राहुगुण। टेक्स्ट नंबर 8। गुणानुरक्तं व्यसनाय जन्तुः क्षमाय नैर्गुण्यमथो मनः स्यात्। यथा प्रदीपो घृतभर्तिमाश्नन् शिखः स धूमा भजति अन्यदा स्वाम्। पदं तथा गुणकर्मानुबन्धनम् भृतिर्मनः श्रयते अन्यत्र तत्त्वम्। गुणा। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। व्हेन द लिविंग एंटिटीज माइंड बिकम्स अब्सॉर्ब्ड इन द सेंस ग्रेटिफिकेशन ऑफ द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, इट ब्रिंग्स अबाउट हिज कंडीशन लाइफ एंड सफरिंग विद इन द मटेरियल सिचुएशन। हाउएवर, when the mind becomes unattached to the material enjoyment, it becomes the cause of liberation. When the flame in a lamp burns the wick improperly, the lamp is blackened. But when the lamp is filled with ghee and is burning properly, there is bright illumination. Similarly, when the mind is absorbed in material sense gratification, it causes suffering. And when detached from material sense gratification, it brings about the original brightness of Krishna consciousness. Purport. It is therefore concluded that the mind is the cause of material existence and liberation also. Everyone is suffering in this material world because of mind. It is therefore proper to train the mind or to cleanse the mind from the material attachment and engage it fully in Lord's service. This is called spiritual engagement. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Mam cha yo bhavicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samatitaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. We should engage the mind fully in Krishna conscious activities. Then it will be cause of our liberation, for our returning home back to Godhead. However, if we keep the mind engaged in material activities of sense gratification, it will cause continuous bondage and will make us remain in this material world in different bodies, suffering the consequences of our different actions. Hare Krishna. So with permission of all senior Vaishnavas and Assemble devotees, I'd like to speak something on mind control. This verse is on mind. Actually, His Holiness Radharan Swami, sometime back he was speaking how the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a map. A map's purpose is to give us a direction to reach the destination. So the philosophy is like a map which can guide us to our destination. But philosophy in itself has no power to make us move to the destination. We have to apply that philosophy in our life so that we can reach the destination. So all the philosophy in Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they give a complete picture of our human life especially. And with the help of that map, we can reach the destination. Mundane philosophy also gives some directions, but actually they are misdirection or not proper directions. Because they are trying to make a map on their own effort. But the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Vedic literatures. This is like a map which is made from the top. Like if you climb a top in a big tree or big building, then everything is visible. All, you know, buildings, destinations, everything is visible. Similarly, because this philosophy is given by Krishna, by Swayam Bhagavan himself, who is in the top of all creation, so therefore he can give us the right directions. And Krishna explains in Gita that how there are different destinations one can reach. Those who worship demigods, they go to demigods. Those who worship the forefathers, he says they go to the forefathers. And those who worship me, they come to me. So these are the directions. So in all situations we see, even if one has to go somewhere, he has to control his mind. Even if it is heavenly planets, he has to do some yajna, do some sacrifice, and in this way he can reach there. But especially those who are trying to reach to the spiritual world, whether he is a jnani who is aspiring merge with Brahman, or a yogi who wants to be meditate on Paramatma and become, you know, one with the Lord, whatever, and the bhakta who wants to meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So each of these personality who are trying to reach to the spiritual world, Prabhupada says they must control the mind. In other situations, one may have to compromise. But as far as going to spiritual world or achieving transcendental success, one must control the mind, and there is no other option. Therefore, we see in this purport, Prabhupada is immediately writing that the mind is cause of material existence and liberation also. So if we want to transcend these modes of material nature, one has to control the mind. There is no other options. Manahayava manushyanam karanam bandha mokshaya. Mind is the cause of bondage and mind is the cause of liberations. So one has to use this facility of mental facility which can lead a person to liberation. Also in Gita, Krishna says, Uddharad atmana atmanam natmanam abashadayat. That one must rescue himself. Uddharad means to rescue. One has to rescue himself from the nescience of the material world with the help of mind, not degrade oneself with the help of mind. So mind helps to degrade, and mind can help us also to become liberate. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is writing how mind is involved with false ego. And therefore, it becomes the cause of entanglement for the pure soul. The soul is pure, but because of false ego, the false ego says, I am this body and I want to enjoy. As soon as false ego says that, mind says, okay, I will help you. Mind says, I have 5 servants and a henpecked husband, that is intelligence. So he has 5 servants, that are 5 senses at his disposal, and this intelligence is superior to mind, is like husband, superior, but is completely influenced by the mind. So what can it do? So whatever mind says, it helps him to achieve that. So in this way, the mind actually helps the false ego to achieve its end. So in this way, living and it enjoys and suffers with the help of mind. So therefore, it is very important for practicing devotees especially to understand the nature of mind and then engage it in Krishna consciousness, so that one can actually, like Prabhupada is explaining here, one has to engage it in Lord's service so that he can come out of this entanglement and the suffering. So I would like to speak few points I have collected from Bhagavad Gita on mind. What is mind? What is the function or nature of mind? Why is it our enemy? And why and how can it be conquered? How to befriend the mind? So these are the various topics. So first is, what is mind? In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in the 7th chapter that Bhumir apo nalo bayu khammana buddhir evacha ahankara ityamme bhinna prakriti ashtada. So these are eight material elements, and these are bhinna prakriti ashtada. He says these are my nature, my energy. So mind is a material element. It's a material element. And it's Krishna's prakriti, Krishna's shakti. Just like everything we have, this body, this is also Krishna's energy. Similarly, the mind also, Krishna explains, is my energy and it's a material element. And what is its nature? It is sukhma. It's very subtle. And in its own, it has no power. But it is rather empowered by the spirit soul. Just like a car doesn't have power on its own unless the driver ignites the engine. Similarly, the mind is nothing but matter. But it is a special matter. Just like car is a matter, but it's a special vehicle which can take people places to places. Similarly, mind can take the soul places to places, body to body. So therefore, it's a material element, first of all. And also, the mind in Kathopanishad is compared to the reins of the horses. In that particular two verses in Kathopanishad, it is explained that body is like a chariot, the senses are the horses, the reins is the mind, and the intelligence is the charioteer, the driver, and the passenger is the spirit soul. So the mind is a connecting force between the senses and the driver. So, therefore, although the mind is in the hands of driver, just like I was telling, although it is in the hand of the driver cannot do much if the mind is weak. If the reins are not strong, then the horses cannot be controlled with the help of intelligence. Similarly, on the other hand, the mind is also more powerful than the horses. The mind, although it is subtle, it is appears to be weak, but it can control the horses very quickly because they are tied to the nose of the horse. Just little pull and the horse will be controlled. Recently, Shikshastampa was telling how His Holiness Sanatana Swami was explaining that the mind is more powerful than the senses, or the mental power has it's much more powerful than physical prowess. How he was explaining the Chitrakata Maharaj, the case of Harsha Shoka. And he was saying a mother suffers a lot during the birth of a child, the labor pain. But when the child is taken away, when the child dies, that suffering is much more than the physical, the labor pain. So this child was born to the mother, Harsha Shoka, but as soon as the child was dead, that pain was even much more powerful. It is generated by the mind. So in this way you can see that mind, although it's Krishna's energy, it is Krishna's energy and it is empowered or driven by the spirit soul in one sense, and it has power over the horses and influence over the intelligence. This is the mind. Sorry. Now then, what is the nature and function of the mind? The nature, Arjuna actually explains to Krishna in Bhagavad Gita about the mind after Krishna says how the yogis control the mind, so many steps of Ashtanga Yoga, he explains. Then Arjuna immediately says, this mind is very difficult to control, Krishna. And he explains why it is difficult. He says, Chanchala himana Krishna, pramathi balavad drida, tasyaham nigraham manne. Then he says, it is easier to control the wind than to control the mind. Why? Because first of all, it is restless. If something is fixed, you can just go and grab it, no problem. But something is moving, you have to have put more effort. Chanchala, restless. Why the mind is restless? That's its nature. Whatever it wants to go, it will go. Whatever it wants to see, it will just pull you here and there and things like that. Because this mind is doing in a certain way because it is conditioned that way for so many lifetimes. And because of that conditioning, it pulls living entities here and there, trying to do this, trying to do that. Just like if something is conditioned, that things happens automatically without any extra effort. Similarly, the mind is restless and it is conditioned and takes the spirit soul in so many different directions, giving so many options. Not only that, it is pramathi balabad drudam. Like his Sikshastambhu was telling in many days back, that if a person is restless, you can catch him, but if he is mad, very difficult, pramathi. And if a person is mad, but he is a skinny person, still you can catch him. But if he is balabad, very strong, again difficult to catch him. So if a person is mad and strong, and on the top of it, he is obstinate also. He is drudha, means he is determined, very obstinate. That is very difficult to control. So Arjuna says, air is restless, okay, wind is restless, but it is not, mad. It is not, it is of course strong, sometimes hurricanes are very strong. And it has no determination on its own. It is just matter. So rather it is easier to control the wind. In fact, he can control the wind, but mind, he says, it's very difficult. So that is the nature of mind, chanchala himana Krishna. So another function of mind is sankalpa vikalpa, it accepts and rejects. So many proposal comes, if it likes, it will accept, dislikes, it will reject. And another function is to think, feel and will. This will is not as a free will. This will is actually influence of modes of material nature, basically. Thinking, feeling and willing. So in this way, the mind, the nature is very, difficult. It's a very precarious nature and also difficult to control. And its function is to always try to help in sense gratification. Then why is it an enemy? The next question is, why is it enemy? Some people may say, well, mind helps us so much in sense gratification. Why you call it an enemy? Actually, it's a friend, because it helps us in sense gratification. One may say like that. But actually, if we see, just like Shakuni, he came to Duryodhan. And he was trying to help him in his sense gratification. But actually, Shakuni was the cause of destruction of Duryodhan. Similarly, a mind tainted with materialistic desires may appear to be a friend, but ultimately it causes our destruction. Like Shakuni came as friend of Duryodhan. So if an enemy comes in the garb of friend, that is even more dangerous. So therefore, one has to very cautiously guide this enemy called mind. Because it may appear to be friend, but actually it is an enemy and it can ruin one's spiritual life. So it's very subtle. So the materialistic people, they want sense gratifications. And that sense gratification actually binds them. It's the cause of bondage. So if a person is in bondage, he is bound up, then how can he be happy? How can he say that he is happy? When a person is in the hands of enemy, what does the enemy do? Enemy immediately binds him up. It's not that the enemy just watches him. He binds him. Similarly, mind is enemy. Why? Because it binds us. Binds us by the modes of material nature. Gunanurakta, like this verse says, Gunanuraktam, being attached to the material modes of nature and consequently is bound and therefore is suffering. And in this way, the mind is actually one's enemy because it binds us to the suffering of this world. Then why and how to conquer mind is the next question. Now why one has to conquer the mind? Because it's enemy, therefore we have to conquer it. It is said in Chanaka Panditi says, an enemy can be conquered in three ways. One is by offering sweet words, the other is by offering some position, and third is by punishment. If somebody is little inimical, so when one starts to speak very sweetly and nicely, and immediately he becomes okay, forgets the, you know, offenses or whatever, becomes friend. If that doesn't work, then he says, like a diplomatic way, one has to offer some positions. Like Prabhupada, sometimes devotees used to fight. So Prabhupada said, okay, you go and create another center in another city, and you go to this city and create your own temple. So they are given positions, and this way they flourished. Later they become friends. So in this way, one can conquer enemies. And another is, if these two things doesn't work out, then enemy has to be conquered by punishment. So I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that mind can be conquered only by punishment, no other way, because the other two things will not work, because mind is, its nature is so vicious, you cannot control it by sweet words or by giving positions. It will still drag. Only by punishment can one control the mind. Mind is just like a small child. Child, sometimes even if you offer some sweet words, don't eat ice creams or things like that, it may not agree. So only when it is given little slap and things like that, it will immediately obey. Similarly, mind has to be controlled or conquered by punishment. So Krishna is explaining in the Bhagavad Gita, therefore, mind has to be conquered. It has to be completely defeated. Bandhuratma manastasya yena atmaiva atmana jitaha. Jita means one has to conquer the mind. There is no other way. If one does not control the mind, then he is living constantly with his enemy, Prabhupada says in the purport. Suppose we don't conquer the mind, it's an enemy. What does happen? Then we have to live with the enemy right next to us all 24 hours. That's a very, you know, dangerous situation, living constantly with the enemy. Anytime we can be killed, our spiritual life can be killed. Anytime our spiritual life can be completely destroyed just by living with an enemy which is not conquered. Therefore, one has to conquer the mind. When the enemy is not conquered, then one has no choice but to listen to the dictate of enemy. So if you don't conquer, then we are under the enemy. So you will say, what are the dictates of enemy? Lust, anger, avarice, illusory happiness, all these things the mind forces on the spirit soul. And it has to obey. No other way. So in this way, Prabhupada is explaining, one has to conquer the mind. Yena atmaineva atmana jitaha. With the help of the spirit soul, one has to, or the spirit soul has to conquer the mind. So, then how to conquer the mind? Conquer the mind by, first thing Prabhupada says, just disobey the orders. Whatever the mind says, you don't listen to it. He says, look this way, you look that way. It's like that. disobey. Whatever mind says, just disobey them. So in this way, one starts conquering the mind gradually, one by one. Another way Prabhupada says is just neglect. So that you are powerful. So when you neglect somebody, that means it is insignificant. So something mind says, just neglect, just overlook or ignore. Ignore mind's dictation. In this way, one can actually start conquering the mind. And this is necessary because, just like Prabhupada says, no matter what practices a transcendentalist takes up, whether this is a yogi or jnani or bhakta, everybody has to control the mind. Similarly, as practicing devotees, we have to follow these techniques so that gradually one can control the mind. So, although Arjuna says that it's very difficult to control the mind by following so many techniques, Krishna says, yes, it is difficult, but still you have to do it. He doesn't say that it's difficult and you give it up. He says, it's difficult, still one has to do it. Otherwise, there is no spiritual life. So, Prabhupada says, if one practices spiritual life and at the same time cultivates sense gratification, it's like lighting a fire and pouring water in it. And how that fire can help spiritual life, the austerities of the mind control, whatever, that fire actually burns the anarthas. But if we extinguish that fire, then how can it help us to burn our anarthas? It cannot burn it. So therefore, one must follow the instructions given by the acharyas, given by the holy scriptures, so that one gets full benefit of the spiritual life. So then one may say, okay, conquering mind is one thing, that is one level, but best is to befriend the mind. First it was an enemy, now it is conquered, like a neutral state. But then, if it becomes our friend, then all the problem is solved. In fact, Krishna says in Gita, a conquered mind is friend of conditioned living entities. We are all conditioned souls. Living entities are conditioned in this world. But if the mind is conquered, then it becomes help of conditioned soul. How? Why? Because now it's going to help him to get out of this material world. Therefore, it is his friend. It will take us, previously it was taking the spirit soul to different bodies, trying to enjoy in a different way. Now it will take us to the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, mind as a friend can help us go back to Godhead. So how to befriend the mind? Krishna says, like we have already explained, that mind is Krishna's energy. Because it is Krishna's energy, so when we engage the mind in Krishna's service, then mind becomes gradually our good friend. Because mind needs engagement. It is chanchala, it is restless, therefore it has to be engaged. Otherwise, like it is said, that an empty mind is devil's workshop, idle mind is devil's workshop. The mind is not engaged, then it will create so many ideas and so many plans because of so many years of conditioning to help a living entity degrade, basically. So therefore, it has to be positively engaged. It is Krishna's energy. Just like if you have something which belongs to somebody else, then it has to be returned to him. It's supposed to be returned back to him. Similarly, all these material creations, the energy of the Lord, and it has to be engaged in Krishna's service. Similarly, mind is a Krishna's gift to us, so we have to use it back in his service. So, first thing is, one has to engage mind in Krishna's service. Second, because it is his energy, mind is Krishna's energy, therefore, he can control it. He is energetic and it's his energy. So, when we allow our mind to be surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna takes charge of it and immediately he can control it. Devi asa gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Mamaevam yo prapadyante maya meta tarantite. He says, this world is full of conditioned soul is bound by the modes of material nature. Devyasya gunamai. And very difficult for him to come out of it. But if one surrenders to Krishna, then easily he can come out of it. So this maya illusion, which is actually keeping us in this material world, can be overcome only when we engage ourselves in Krishna service and offer our, and many times Krishna says, Tasmat sarvesu kalesu ma manusmar yudhecha mayarpita mano buddhir. You offer your mind and intelligence to me. Of course, the mind comes first, then intelligence. So one has to offer his mind and intelligence to Krishna, and in this way, actually he can ultimately reach to Krishna. Otherwise, as long as a person stays in illusion, that illusion actually maintains our anarthas. Whatever we have, envy, you know, anger, all these anarthas, because a person is in illusion, he does not know that it is bad for him. And therefore, the illusion actually maintains all the anarthas of a conditioned living soul. But when he is offering him to Krishna, he comes out of that illusion. And in this way, he can go back to Godhead. So we can see that by engaging our mind constantly, like this Krishna consciousness process given by Srila Prabhupada is so nice, that devotees are getting opportunities to engage their mind constantly in Krishna service. And because we can do that, therefore our mind is automatically away from sense gratification because of this opportunities which is provided by Srila Prabhupada. So sometimes people say, there may be little lethargy or, you know, complacency that, okay, Mahaprabhu's mercy is there, therefore there is no need to worry, we can overcome. It's not like that. Mahaprabhu's mercy is there, but still you have to apply it, we have to use it. Mahaprabhu's mercy is available and it's working. We can see in our own lives, the fever is decreasing. So therefore we can say, okay, the mercy is working. But to the extent we use it in our life, to that extent the fever will be, you know, subside. It will go away. So Mahaprabhu's mercy is available and it's working. But still, one has to accept that mercy and apply in his life. It's like somebody may be giving a big donation, say 1 million rupees money. But if somebody doesn't accept it, then it's not going to help him. And even after accepting, if he's not using it, suppose somebody is in poverty and he wants to remove his poverty, his situation. If he doesn't use that money, then how can the poverty will be removed? It cannot be removed. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is available, the wealth of a holy name is available. So first one has to accept it in a humble spirit, in a thankful, grateful way. And then he has to use it, apply it. Then the poverty which everybody is suffering, that is lack of love of Godhead, that poverty will be removed and love for the Lord will arise. So in this way you can see that how Krishna is guiding us to his lotus feet through the instruction that engaging our mind in his service, manmana bhamat bhakta mate ajimam namaskur, like so many instructions Krishna is giving. And Krishna is also telling that one has to control the mind, there is no other way. And then one has to engage using his free will. And to meet that end, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that Krishna himself is coming and giving us the full process, engagement in Krishna's service, by which we can actually remove our poverty. And in this way, a living entity can actually go back to home, back to Godhead. So, thank you very much. Any comment? Srila Prabhupada ki? Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Gaur Premanande.